Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining me here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. He's not here today, so we're just not going to. I haven't cut out a clip of him saying it's a little strange yet. So we'll do that. And maybe when he does a normal one. Maybe when he does one who's not trying to be so weird about it. I don't know. So wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at Strange Brew Coffee House. Excuse me. .com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Road game this weekend, so a perfect chance to have a few friends over, watch the game, and put some delicious beef on the grill, some great steaks or burgers. But if you don't want to do that, if you just want to watch the game and then go out to eat afterwards for dinner, hey, got great steak houses from one end of this state to the other. It doesn't matter where you are in the state of Mississippi, you're not too far away from a fantastic steak. So take advantage of that this weekend. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is a place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything Mississippi State, everything maroon and white, right up there at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, origin by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell. You can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Whatever you're looking for, Mississippi State, I know they've got it at College Corner. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only are they going to be invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now, more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, you need to talk to a banker that knows you by name, not just by your account number. A banker that's going to show you a level of respect that you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Carlo having treatment today, so won't have him on the show today or tomorrow. So Tuesday, as you're listening, I guess today as you're listening, Sports Talk Mississippi will be live at Northwest Community College in Senatobia. So I got to get out early to get up there. So just no time to record, really. So I'm going to do back-to-back here by myself, and then Carl will be back for our, I guess that'll be our Thursday and Friday podcast. Also spoke earlier today with Randy Johnson from the Minnesota Star Tribune. We had him on a couple weeks ago. We'll bring him back this week to preview the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Later in this show, you'll hear from Coach Jeff Lebby, his weekly Monday press conference. A few interesting things to say in that. And what I took away from that and talking to him and, you know, some of the players is that it's something that I like. The belief or the idea that there's still a lot to prove for this Mississippi State team. I think they are, you know, a good coaching phrase is pleased but never satisfied. And I asked Lebby about, you know, were you pleased with the execution of your team in the first half? You know, no penalties, no real big busts. And he said, yeah, basically yes, but. And there was a lot of that. There was a lot of yes, but at this press conference in a good way. You know, asked him about Kamario Taylor and the throw that it's kind of gone viral. And a couple people asked him about that, and he's like, well, yeah, but he could have done this and could have done that. And he made a really good point about, you know, in this, especially when we start talking about playing teams like Minnesota or playing the SEC, it was almost from any given Sunday. It's like 1/2 yard too far. He was talking about. He said though, we'll fight for those 6 inches basically, and you know, a half yard, a half foot, whatever it is, worth a difference could be the difference between winning and losing. And so I feel like the mentality piece of this, coming out of a game where, for the first time in what, 4 years, maybe, when's the last time Mississippi State had an offensive game like that where everything just went right for them against, you know, just about anybody? I mean, I guess you can mention some of the FCS games, but we're talking about an FBS opponent. And not that I think that ULM is this really great team or anything like that. They're probably not going to win very many games this season, but you go back to last year. Excuse me. Your two non-conference games against Southern Miss and Northern Illinois. 34-17, 38-10. I'm pretty sure Northern Illinois scored on their first drive. It was 7-0 for Illinois. So you just don't have that like start to finish dominance. Clearly you didn't have it Jet Lebby's first year. Arnett, Arizona was a back and forth game. Western Michigan, that game was iffy throughout. Southern Miss at the end of the season, towards the end of the season, that game was iffy until the fourth quarter. Even with Leach, I mean, I guess the Memphis game his first year, or his, I'm sorry, his first year, his last year, that game was put away pretty early. So, but if that's the case, if that's the game we're going to point to, we're talking it's been four seasons since you had a game where, as a Mississippi State fan, there was never a moment where you were looking around going, oh, wait, what's going on here? What's happening here? So it would be easy then for the players, I think, to have the mentality of that was, I don't know necessarily to have the that was good enough mentality, but to at least be in a position where they thought, we can do that again. Like that's what we're going to, we don't have to worry about being better. We just got to replicate these performances. I didn't get that. I got the idea that they feel like there's still room to grow. And I keep going back to something I talked about on Monday's pod of, when Ole Miss under Lebby and Kiffin, and then, when Weiss was the offensive coordinator there in these past few years, when they would play these hapless non-conference games, that's what these games look like for them. So you look at Kiffin, let's say the last 3 years, right? When they played a bad non-conference team. I mean, a bad one, right? So Mercer, 73-7. They played Louisiana Monroe, 35-3. That game was the bye week game. So my guess is, not the bye week game, it's the game before the Egg Bowl. So my guess is they didn't play a ton of their starters. They tried to keep people fresh for that one. But again, no chance for defeat. Last year, they played Furman at 76-0. Middle Tennessee State, or sorry, 2 years ago, 52-3. Wake Forest, 40-6. They played Georgia Southern, 52-13. So that's their four non-conference games. They won these games by an average of, like 45-9, something like that. No doubt whatsoever. Last year, Georgia State, 63-7. Tulane, which is a good Tulane team, 45-10. The Washington State game got away from them a little bit, and that's the one they only won by three. They beat the Citadel 49-0. But you've watched those games, if you've watched Ole Miss play, and it's like they're just putting up these numbers, and it's like, are they ever going to pull the starters out? And then the starters come out, and they're still racking up yards. And State hasn't had a game like that in 4 years, in my opinion. And they had it on Saturday. And so, we talked all offseason about that, right? We talked about how the optics of that first game were so important, and State didn't need to just win, but they needed to win big, and then the line comes out, and it's 28.5, and I'm just saying it needs to be more than that. And not only was it more than that, I mean, you set records, for total offense, and I believe Robbie Faulk, who, of course, is no longer with us, tweeted out that this was the fifth most offense in a game in SEC history. It's just an absolute shellacking. And so when we talk about mentality, it's not even about so much about the players, it's about ours, right? It's about the fans' mentality. If that game had been finished 38-17, we would all be sitting around going, oh, no. Oh, no. Even a game where, it's 38-7 in the final 5 minutes and they get a field goal and a late touchdown, and we're still sitting here thinking, we're scratching our heads going, oh, this is going to be another bad year. It's not a bad year. Now optimism is at an all-time high. And it goes back to what I said. I said it a bunch of times, that we would be able to take a lot from this first game. And I really feel like we can. Now, I'm still waiting to see on the defensive line. Apparently there was some statistical work done that every game that Arnett's teams have played against these kind of outmatched non-conference opponents, the sack numbers aren't very high. So that's fine. We'll give it another week to look. We'll see what happens against Minnesota. But, a year ago, the offensive line against everybody had trouble. Go back to watch the Southern Miss game. Watch the Northern Illinois game. Chapin was under pressure in those games. Camario, if you go back and watch the even if you just watch the highlights, you can see him. He's got time to go through his progressions. He's looking off the first guy. He's looking off the second guy. He's got time to go deeper into him. I thought they played really well. You know, well, I would grade them as high as I could considering the opponent. You saw the options that State has at the skill positions. I mean, do we not feel good after it's just one game, but do we not feel good about McGee, Reagans, Johnson? You know, I thought that Anthony Evans obviously was very, very good. The running back situation, I'd like to see a little bit more from Sam West or somebody at that tight end position, but, you know, I'm willing to give that another game or two. You feel really good about that. And then you have the added piece of Camario, who, if we were to say, you know, we'll do on Sports Talk Mississippi, we'll do winners and losers, and he's going to be one of my winners, because did any player in the country have the amount of buzz this weekend that Camario Taylor did? I don't know about you. If you're listening, you're a big TikToker or an Instagram Reels. I do Reels. Camario was all over the place. Just influencers and college football people like, look at this throw. Look at this kid. Where did he come from? I think Camario Taylor has as much, you know, if you were going to do like a week-to-week Heisman thing where you don't actually walk in with any favorites, right? Everybody starts the year the same way, and then based off of each week, well, he'd be headed to New York after 1 week. So, and Levy addresses that in his comments about, was it DJ Chester? Who, by the way, it wasn't my first time to talk to DJ Chester. Future coach, I think. Just understands the game. Him and then Trevion Williams. I may play Trevion Williams' interview at some point this week. That's just like talking to one of your guys. He had one quote, Trevion Williams. He said, somebody asked him about Minnesota's run game. He's like, well, they got a run game. We got a D-line. It is what it is. I was just like, buddy, you and I, if you know, I'm a 50-year-old man, you and I could sit on the porch and drink a beer. Like, we are both old men. I like that. But Lebby talked about it. He said, you know, you don't have to. It feels like with Camario, at least, you know, it's obviously very, very early in this, but it feels like you don't have to worry as much about the big head here happening here. That this guy really is grounded. And by as an extension of that, the team is grounded. Like, this is a team that knows as much as you can. You know, I do believe that teams try and filter and limit the outside noise as much as they can for the most part. But this is a team, I think they know that in year three with Jeff Lebby, that it's time to start winning football games. And so I think that they know that, and I think that they know that there's as much pressure on them as there is anybody who's not a playoff contender, right? The playoff contenders have their own kind of pressure. They're the pressure to make the playoff. So when you talk about LSU and just in the conference, LSU and Alabama and Georgia and Texas, and to, you know, to a certain extent, Ole Miss, Oklahoma would be in that as well. Their pressure is different, right? Then you have some schools like Kentucky. What's the pressure this year at Kentucky? Like, they'd like to win games. They don't want to lose games. But if in year one Will Stein is 5-7, they're gonna be fine, right? Then you have like South Carolina and Mississippi State, where the coach could be in some trouble if there's no throw. So there's the pressure of that. But I also just think, you know, if you're Anthony Evans and you walked away from Georgia, you know, you walked away from a team that's won the SEC twice and been in the college football playoff twice, you'd like to have some of that success yourself. You want to go out on those high notes. And I feel like this team recognizes that there's some external pressure, but I also feel like they are very early. It's just one game, but I feel like they're responding to it very well. It would have been really easy to just win this game like 45-28. 45-21, I guess I should say. 28 would have been a bit much. But they didn't. They won it 62-13, and they put up almost 800 yards of total offense. That is a good sign to me. Because we've said this many times here on this podcast before, right? When you're a good team and you play a bad team, you should beat them badly. Mississippi State played a bad team on Saturday. They beat them badly. They beat them about as badly as you could possibly have hoped for. Now, does that mean Mississippi State's a good team? I don't know, but that's a good sign. It's a really good sign. So I think that this team very much is going to play. I don't want to buy into the whole. I don't want to go into the whole cliche of they're playing with a chip on their shoulder or anything like that. But I just think that they realize that there's more to that they can do than what they did even on Saturday. That's not to say that they're going to put up 800 yards and 60 points on everybody they play. Far from that, but they realize that there's a they. I guess the way to put it would be, and coaches talk about this a lot, right? That's like, it's not about what other teams do, it's about what we do, right? So I think Mississippi State is starting to realize that. Like, that if they play their best, if with Kamario playing, if Kamario's playing his best, if we're getting the best version of Kamario Taylor each and every week, that's a really tough team to beat. You know, defensively, like I said, we'll see a little bit more this week. Offensive line, we'll see. We'll obviously see a little bit more this week. We'll focus more on that tomorrow when we're talking about Minnesota and their All-American defensive linemen. But for me, I see in the quotes I'm reading from the coaches, from like I say, I shouldn't say from the coaches, from Lebby, from the players, that mentally they're in the right spot here in week two. You know, and it goes back to something I talked about in the offseason where I said, year one, year two, when you would talk to Lebby, you'd talk to the players, you got the impression they wanted to win, but they weren't sure they were going to win. I really do believe this team has the confidence that they're going to win. They hit the field each week. They're going to hit the field each week this year, even when they're playing LSU and Texas and Alabama and whoever. They're going to hit the field with the belief we're going to win this football game. I don't think you had that a year ago. I certainly don't think you had it 2 years ago. You can, I'm sure that they said the right things, but if you're going to try to convince me that, especially after Shapen went down, when they went to Texas and Georgia, that team thought they were going to win, I will argue against that. I believe this year's team believes they're going to win. They believe that Kamario gives them an edge that nobody else has, that they have the improvements along the roster, that they have the skill position guys that they can go out there and get in these track meets. I really like the mentality of what I've seen from Mississippi State. Going back to camp, we talked about it a few times about how I felt like this was a much more confident group. I think a confident group, a good mindset, a team that's in the right place mentally is what translates into what you saw Saturday night. A team that's not completely sure about itself probably still wins that game relatively easily just because ULM is so bad, but it's, 41 to 17 or something like that. Again, an easy win, but you're not amazed by it. The way they played Saturday night was, to me, a great sign. That is how a good team should beat a team like ULM. So that's a good sign for me, at least for me personally. Now, we'll see where it goes. Mentality only take you so far. You got to win games with talent. You got to win games with coaching. I think from a talent perspective, Mississippi State has a big advantage this coming Saturday. I think State has better athletes than Minnesota does. But Fleck is a really, really good coach, and this game is on the road. I definitely like Kamara. In my three-pronged approach of coach, quarterback, location, Minnesota's probably got two of those. But I think Kamario is a much, much better quarterback for Mississippi State than for Minnesota. What's that guy? What's the kid's name? Drake Lindsey is for Minnesota. So I think that gives State makes State dangerous. We'll just put it that way. We'll see. All right, let's hear from Lebby. Let's move into that. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find smoked Southern soul food. If you are going to be in the Cotton District this weekend or any weekend or any day, it's around lunch or dinner time, you need to head to Two Brothers Smoked Meats or the Older Brother. The Older Brother, again, I keep stressing this. For dinner, you guys are going to be surprised if you haven't been there. The food is top, top level. The kind of food you're not finding at other places, around town. Some really cool recipes they've got going on there. But if you go for lunch, the fancy sandwich. I haven't had the croque monsieur in a few weeks. We might need to make a trip to the Older Brother this week and grab one of those. And you should too. So if you're going to be in Starkville around dinner time, around lunchtime, head to the Cotton District and enjoy a great meal at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you. Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. Do you need technology for your business? Well, if you do, then reach out to my friends at Advantage Business Systems and tell them what you need. And know that when you make that phone call, you're going to get the service, the guarantee of service after the sale. that if something goes wrong down the road, they're just a phone call away, and they're in Mississippi, so they're probably not too far away from you at all. A lot of times they're going to be able to fix your problems the same day. You can't get that same kind of guarantee with a lot of other places. Those places put you on hold. They tell you they're going to send out a technician. Well, he's not from Mississippi. He'll be there in a week. How's that going to work for you and your business? Don't deal with that. Don't do it. Talk to Advantage Business System. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go. Guys, I don't even need to ask, do I? Did you go to Maroon & Co. this weekend when you were up in Starkville? Of course you did. Of course you did. And, you know, you saw what I've been talking about. If you haven't been to Maroon & Co. lately, you saw that they have got the biggest and best selection of Mississippi State gear in all of the Golden Triangle. And it's just going to keep getting better. It's hot right now. We're a couple, you know, maybe what, month and a half away from it starting to cool off. So now you're buying a polo, but maybe it's time to start thinking about what hoodie or pullover you want to get for those colder games. You know, Christmas will be here before you know it. I know we're not, it's just September and it's in the 112 degrees outside, but I'm just telling you, as a man who likes to plan, it's never too early to think about these kind of things. And Maroon & Co. makes it easy for you to get whatever you want for the Bulldog in your life. Use our promo code THUNDER15. That's in-store or online at maroonandco.com. You'll save 15% off regular price. Next time you're in Starkville, before you go to the game, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo is the place to go. Again, I don't know if you've noticed, but it's hot outside. It's hot. You could fry, never mind an egg, you could fry a steak. You go put a steak on the, you go put a steak out on the sidewalk, come back after about 10 minutes and flip it, medium rare after 20 minutes. I mean, I'm just telling you, it's that hot outside. Which means one thing, if you got to mow the grass, you want to be in, out, and done. That's why you need John Deere Power. And it's not fall yet, but it'll be fall soon enough that we're going to put out some fall deals with our friends at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. We're talking about 0% financing on all John Deere commercial mowers and Gators and up to zero for 48 months. And up to 0% financing for up to 84 months on all John Deere compact tractors. How can you beat those deals? No bank is going to give you a loan like that, I promise you. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. They have what you want for less. Good Hope Land and Timber. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, Good Hope Land and Timber, the name to know, the name to trust. If you're trying to buy or sell land right now, be it a small plot or a huge tract of land, Good Hope Land and Timber can absolutely help you with that purchase or sale. But if you're already a landowner and you just need help managing your land, managing your timber and your resources, Good Hope Land and Timber, that's where they really shine. They're experts in their field. You can make them experts in your field with a quick phone call. 601-442-9888 or visit them online at g-hope.com. Find out why Good Hope Land and Timber is locally trusted and landowner approved. Our pick'em will be a little later this week. We'll do that on for our Thursday pod when Carlo's back. Should have some differences this week. Should have some differences. Might get a little, somebody's going to have a, I feel like it, bottom line on Monday, or maybe I guess I should say Saturday evening, one of us is going to be a game behind the other. I'm interested to see who that is, but we will do that later. Let's go down to Jeff Lebby. Jeff Lebby spoke earlier to the media today, gave his thoughts on his week one win and, of course, his week two opponent. Here's Jeff Lebby earlier today from the SEAL building talking about Mississippi State's win over ULM and their opponent this week, the Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Coach, let's just kind of start with the review of the tape, specifically the offensive line. It appeared in game they had a really good day, but after reviewing the tape, what were your thoughts?
There was some really, really good moments. There were moments that we want back. Again, I think the way we played the game, our physicality, how we tried to strike, strain, finish, something to be able to go build upon. We got to continue to play cleaner. As we get ready to play a lot better competition, that's the reality of it.
Last time we talked to you, you said that once you get better, we're going to start 10 minutes after we got done.
Yeah.
Since that time, between that time and now, what have you got to work on?
Yeah, for us as a staff, just the game plan and putting our guys in positions to go have great success on Saturday afternoon and a great environment where the opponent has been really, really good for a while now. So I think 8-0 in their last eight games at home, and they've played really, really well at home while PJ's been there.
One of the things that stood out to you Saturday night was in the first half.
did think we played clean in the first half. I think I might have talked about a little bit post-game, was frustrated in the second half because of the penalties, and I've continued to talk about that. Just regardless of who is on the field, the expectation is to execute and be able to play clean balls. So there's some great teaching moments for the entire football team in those moments. But, again, I did like how we started it off. Yeah, special teams will be huge. He's an elite returner, had two touchdowns, obviously, last weekend. What he does for them offensively as well, an elite player. So got to know where he's at all the time, and then we've got to limit him in the return game, without a doubt. Yeah, production. Obviously, the transfer that they signed from Cal is starting at the Jack. Really twitched up kid, has done a great job when he's been on the field last year. And then, obviously, this last weekend or Thursday evening, Zero is. He's the most productive guy in all of college football. 17.5 tackles for loss, I think 12.5 sacks. And they're able to roll guys. As one comes in the game, another pass rusher that can make some noise, and they have. They've done a great job getting after the quarterback. Going to be a huge point of emphasis for us, keeping one clean, and that's a huge part of the plan.
From an injury standpoint, some of the guys who didn't play on Saturday, like Zachary, Aiden Williams, and Skip, what are just their statuses for this week in this game?
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about the injury piece of it until the report comes out once we get into conference.
Right.
A phrase you've used with us a lot is what it's supposed to look like. You've said that a lot, especially in regards to your offense. Saturday night, would you classify that as what it's supposed to look like?
Outside of the two field goals, I would. Again, scoring on our first eight drives, but two of those being field goals, those moments were frustrating because of what happened on those third downs, not being able to stay on the field. Outside of that, it was. We did exactly what we needed to do and was supposed to do. With that, there were so many teaching moments inside even the first half, the first 49 plays of the game in the first half. There were so many moments where, I mean, we can play a lot better, and we're going to have to play a lot better. So using those moments when you win, that's huge for the program. But as we know, great opponent Saturday. We're going to have to go play really, really well.
We've talked a lot about Shump, who is a JUCO guy that redshirted last year. Now he's doing a lot of big things. But Champ James on the other side of the ball kind of did the same thing, had a good game the other day. What have you seen from him as far as his growth as a player, getting that year last year, now this year stepping into that role?
Yeah. Outside of the penalty on kickoff return for Champ, I thought he showed physicality. There was growth there. We're going to need to continue to develop him in a great way. He's got to continue to come on for us so that he can, you know, be able to roll and play some significant snaps.
Well, I have two. I'll give them both to you. The first one is, what are your thoughts about Drake Lindsey? And number two, after going back and reviewing the tape, you know, how coachable has Kamario been, kind of accepting that feedback and being constructive with all that?
Yeah, one, Drake is a guy that can make all the throws. You can tell he plays with an incredible amount of toughness. Still, relatively a young guy, but has played a bunch of football. And I think they got great confidence in him, and him having control of their scheme and having great command as he's now year two and as a starter for him. So going to have to do a great job. We're going to have to change pictures. We're going to have to affect him when he's in the pocket and be able to get him on the ground. And, you know, for Kamario, how he's been coached since we got off the field, he's been awesome. He does. He wants to play better. He wants to play cleaner, and he knows there's a lot more out there for him. You good?
That video of him throwing that 70-yard touchdown has kind of gone viral on social media, a lot of people sharing it and posting it. Just from your perspective, coaching him, just what makes a throw like that, a play like that, just so impressive?
There's very few that can do it. You know, he does. He steps up. Didn't have to move quite as much as he moved, but he did a great job staying in profile and knew he was going to be able to get it out of his hand before he got hit or as he was getting hit. So again, just those are the things that you love to see, him playing the position from the pocket, being able to manipulate the pocket, keeping his eyes in his progression, and giving us a chance to create chunk plays.
What are the numbers and film that you've kind of combed over since we last spoke tell you about the kind of players you're going to be able to go to in certain matchups, just for the sake, just like the Minnesota game?
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about numbers and stats, and after 1 week, as we're getting ready for Minnesota, like, both games, I think, were pretty similar. They really were. They completely dominated Thursday night. They've made explosive plays. They've got guys defensively that play incredibly hard and fast and run and hit. And then offensively, they've got two good backs, and they've got a couple of really good pieces on the perimeter with a quarterback and an offensive line that's got a ton of plays. So we're going to have to pick and choose. We're going to have to take what they give us and find ways to continue to just stay ahead of the chains and get first downs.
We got a glimpse of what J.J. Hill can do. Do you expect, you know, with that competition in that room, that he can keep pushing this year?
Yeah, he's going to definitely keep pushing and finding ways to develop. And when he gets his opportunity, be able to go make the most of them. I think that's critical for young guys. I love when young guys have the ability to go play and get that opportunity. He made the most of it, and he'll continue to.
The touchdown throw that Sam was referencing,
yeah.
You know, guys like us and people, fans, they see that and they're like, oh, man, what a great play. Is there a coachable moment, even in a fantastic play like that, where you can say, hey, you did great, but you could do this?
Yeah, I kind of mentioned it, but just when he climbed in the pocket on that snap, he could have just shut down his movement a half a yard before being able to be all the way into the rush, and that we're talking about literally a half a yard. Maybe he gets through his throw a little bit more. That snap, it didn't matter because of the ball placement and the ball that he threw. But we're always trying to, man, strain for those 6 inches, those 2 yards, whatever it is that can change the play and change the outcome.
I want to ask about the other guy on the other end of that 70-yard reception with Marquise Johnson. I think you were asked about him at SEC Media Days. Just talk about his development and where he is now.
Proud of Keith for the camp that he's had. He's continued to create trust and earn the right to go play. Keith is really, really talented, got incredible top end, made some competitive plays, which I love, caught the ball away from his body a few times, and was really, really good to see. So proud of him for just staying the course. We're going to need him to continue to mature and play at a really high level.
Talk about J.J., and, of course, you see other guys like Brandon Womack getting their snaps. How much simpler as a coach has the 5-for-5 made all these decisions? You don't have to worry about 4 games, redshirting, things like that.
No, I absolutely love it. I love it for the young guys inside our program that get to go play. There's zero concern for that. It helps us from a special team standpoint, that with guys that are really talented that maybe aren't quite ready to go play on offense and defense, that can affect the game from a team standpoint. So I love it. Appreciate it.
We caught Lebby right off the practice field, too. Like, he was walking in. Normally, like, we're in the room, and then Lebby comes in. In this case, he was walking in the door, and I was like, we're just following you. He's like, let's go. So, there you go. His vibe today, I feel like I should do a Lebby vibe check every week. It was fine. He very businesslike, I thought, today, though. I think he knows he's got a tough task, you know. He talked about it early in his first question. This is a Minnesota team that's had a lot of success at home. They're a tough, physical football team. They play kind of the opposite of Mississippi State, in that they want to slow the game down. They want to run the football, control the clock. Mississippi State's going to be the opposite. They're going to want to be aggressive and get off the field quickly and try to you know, play with great tempo, which I thought State's tempo was really good Saturday night. So a good contrast of styles. In this one. And for Mississippi State, a slight favorite. Let me see if that's gone up since last I looked. I looked yesterday. Mississippi State was a 1.5-point favorite over the Gophers. And today, it's down to 1. So the action, the early action, is coming in on Minnesota a little bit. But not a lot, not enough to swing anything. Could see a situation where we get to kick off and Minnesota's a slight favorite. Or could just stay the way that it is. But for Mississippi State, slight favorite in this one against the Golden Gophers. I said it a few weeks ago, and I'll say it again. I feel good about State's chances in this game just because of the quality of athlete. I just feel like State, from a Jimmy's and Joe's perspective, is just a better football team than the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Now, will the coaching make a difference? Will the location, the fact that it's at Minnesota, make a difference? We're going to find that out. But if you just line these guys up, State is the better, is the more talented team. Outside of Anthony Smith, how many guys does Minnesota have that I would feel are a lock to start for Mississippi State? Whereas for State, I feel like almost all of State's skill position guys would be out there. Kelly Jones and Isaac Smith would be out there for Minnesota, so we'll see how it goes. Let's go a little deeper tomorrow, and we'll talk about this kid, Anthony Smith. I watched some highlight films of him, and very impressive player. So how does State neutralize him? We'll talk about that tomorrow. Plus, the NFL season's about to start off. Do we want to talk about Dak? We might do that. We'll talk about Dak Prescott a little bit tomorrow. I feel like it's with his career, I don't know if you can say it's a make-or-break year or anything like that, but I feel like there's a lot of expectations on Dak Prescott this year. So let's talk about Dak a little bit tomorrow. Why not? All right, guys, have a great Tuesday. I'll be back with you on Wednesday. Carlo will be back with us on Thursday. Until then, for Carlo Verone, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder Lightning here on Super Talk.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.